Let us pray. O gracious Holy Spirit, shape and bless the humble and human words I speak and the thoughts, feelings, and responses of those who hear, that this might be a time when everything is changed. In Jesus' name, amen. Have you ever had a moment that has changed everything? It might have been a public one enjoyed with friends or family, or it might have been one that was known only to you, that affected no one else but for you. It changed everything. Has this ever happened? This could be a day for you. Or this is a day that changes everything. I know it is hard to take in. In fact, we cannot take it in. We cannot integrate it into our lives. The only way to have this day come upon you is to live into it, to become part of a different reality, to know that life is broader and richer and deeper than we had ever given it credit before. Now, I know that is hard. I know there are many hard things about this day. There are some difficult things which I really don't care that much about, but I know are hard for some people. I don't know if you saw this making the rounds, a rabbit on the psychiatrist's couch. He says, I don't know where the eggs come from, and I don't know why I hide them. The mystery of this day I'm not going to get into. There's another mystery to this day that is wonderful and changes everything. I like that about the accounts of the resurrection in the gospel, and the account from Luke is no different. It begins in the dark. Women making their way to a tomb prepared for death to anoint the body of someone they love as was proper. They went seeking a body and expecting death. And they found something they could not understand, something which terrified them, something which they couldn't take in until the angels, whatever they were, reminded them of words that had been spoken many times, which they couldn't take in when they were spoken. And suddenly, with an empty grave before them, things started coming together. And yet, there was still so much uncertainty. They ran and told the others who had been with them, and what was their response? This is an idle tale, lirios, the word that we get the word delirious from. And they did not believe them. There is so much that is hard to believe about this day. But it changes everything. Now, I know we still live in a time where churches are blown up in Sri Lanka. I know we live in a time when people still remember a murderous rampage in Columbine 20 years ago, and that only seemed to begin murderous rampages in our schools and in our synagogues and in our mosques and in our churches. I know we live in a time when 9-year-old girls commit suicide. There is a lot about this time you can tell me, and I can agree with you, that still needs changing. But this day changes everything. This day gives us a place to stand and a horizon to look upon and a hope to live in, which allows us to face all these challenges with a different way forward. I love the scene outside the Cathedral of Notre Dame as it burned in Paris. The people singing. We paid tribute to them thanks to Nathan Gritter. At our Good Friday service, we sang Je vous salue Marie, which is the French version of Ave Maria, Hail Mary, full of grace. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb, Jesus. And as this beautiful testament of faith burned, as this great cultural icon of the world burned, their response was filled with such peace and grace and fortitude, I found it extremely moving. Somehow, even in the sight of that burning cathedral, there was a sense of peace. It's interesting, when we think of the struggles of this world, they're very comparable to the struggles of those first Christians. And Mary and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, left that tomb and told the disciples, as they eventually began to live into this new reality, they lived into torture and persecution. They lived into years of suffering and rejection by their families and communities. They didn't make money doing this, but they had good news to share. One of the writers in the Wall Street Journal reflected on this last Easter. Here we go again. That's a duck-billed platypus. It's a furry animal that lays eggs. Who would have thought? When they discovered this in Australia, they brought it back to England, and the biologists there didn't believe them. This couldn't be. Well, the author of the Wall Street Journal, George Weigel, wrote a piece called The Easter Effect. He said, whatever you think about this day, you really have to question how it was a marginal group of nobodies on the edges of the empire by the time of the year 313 had totally swallowed up the Roman Empire. Called it the Easter effect because on that day, everything changed. Jews who indelibly had it scorched on their hearts that you worshiped on the Sabbath suddenly and immediately began to worship on Sunday, the first day of the week. Their view of history changed. Their view of hope changed, their view of their responsibilities changed, and they began to live into a different reality that attracted the attention of others in the Roman Empire. They saw them living a kind of more noble life. They lived a life with greater respect for women and children. They lived a life whereby in the time of plagues, they would go beyond their own family groupings and care for others. They lived a life which seemed to change everything. As hard as it was for them to take in, if you ask those early Christians what had happened, they wouldn't talk about their lovely church building or how good the choir was, even if it was magnificent. They wouldn't talk about the friends and the social life at church. Their one response was, Jesus has been raised from the dead. If that is true, what does that change in your life? If that is true, what difference does it make to you? There was a young woman named Mary Ann Bird. Mary Ann was born in August 1928 in Brooklyn, New York. She was born with club feet, a cleft palate, a crooked nose, and deaf in one ear. And she grew up, and some of us know how torturous playgrounds can be, how dark they can be. She was bullied constantly. The other kids would look at her and say, "Hey, Mary Ann, what happened to your face?" One year she got the teacher everybody wanted to get, Miss Leonard. Though she was a little short and a little doughty, everyone loved Miss Leonard and everyone wanted to be her teacher's pet. Mary Ann Bird sat at the back of the classroom and hoped. Annually in those days, teachers would do a hearing test. They called it the whisper test. I don't know if anyone here had ever undergone that procedure, but they left up things, you know, now they go to an audiologist, then the teacher would call them forward and he or she would whisper into each ear some common phrase like the sky is blue or you have shoes. And the child would say the words back. Mary Ann hated that because she was deaf in one ear. Every year, the other kids would have another thing to make up jibes about her for, another one of her deficiencies. There she was in Miss Leonard's class, and she was called forward for the whisper test. Miss Leonard leaned toward her and whispered into her ear, "I wish you were my little girl, Mary Ann." It changed her life. Mary Ann was and became a devout Christian. She said she heard her teacher speaking and she heard Jesus speaking to her that day. And it changed her life. The bullying didn't stop. She had to face that. She had 17 surgeries for that cleft palate. But she grew into life. She married her elementary school sweetheart. They had 4 children. She became a reporter for the Journal of Foxborough, Massachusetts. She had her own column. It was called A Bird's Eye View. And in that column, she told the story of the whisper test. On this day, God doesn't do it by coercion. God simply whispers into our ear. The risen Christ bends to us and says, "You are my beloved child." Take it in. Better yet, live into it. Know this life that changes everything. And to coin a phrase, be part of the change. Be the change in this world. Christ is risen. Is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Amen.